I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking outside, kind of a gloomy Thursday, but it lights up tonight. Little Caesars Arena, Game 6, Pistons, stave season continues. We can nerd out on the basketball, but I'm more curious just your buy-in level and your mood. Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Are you pumped? Is it, hey, house money even? I mean, John, if they lose tonight, the season's still going to be viewed as a wild success. Do you just go and go, hey, I'm just rooting for another competitive game where the Pistons can put the Knicks on the brink? What's your mood?
I don't think you're just rooting for that. I think
you want to win. That's my point. You put them on the brink in Game 7.
Yes, you want to force a Game 7. You want to stave off elimination. And I think you're going into it not just happy to be there. I think you're going into it with the expectation of winning this game, winning a home playoff game. And that can create a little bit of anxiety, a little anxious.
You expect to win tonight.
Expect to win, yes. I expect to win every time I go into a game. And
When are you suiting up?
Yes, well, I will. They will not, because it's playoff basketball, they won't get that far down the roster.
Okay.
But I expect our teams, just like I did when the Lions were playing Washington, expected them to win. Expect the Pistons to win tonight. And part of the expectation is they will have an advantage playing at home. They haven't capitalized on that advantage yet. And I expect that Cade Cunningham and the rest of the team, JB included, with how they played the fourth quarter, how he used the roster, how he used Dasar Thompson, that they will learn, that they will improve. And I think there's more room for improvement for the Pistons than there is for the Knicks. The Knicks are who they are. The Pistons, we can actually see throughout the course of the year, throughout the playoffs, getting better, doing things that they didn't do the day before. And that's what you have with a young team. It's what you have with young kids. And it feels like this is a correlation between a young kid and a young team that day to day, game to game, week to week, you actually see them getting better. Now they've got to capitalize on that. We thought they would be able to do that from game one to game two, where Cade was able to, be the guy in the fourth quarter. We didn't see it then for a couple of games. And okay, unfortunate that they lost that game because of the, part of it was because of the official. Just imagine how it would feel so much different now if they were up 3-2 versus 2-3. That's how close this is. And that's how close this series has been. But now it's Cade going and putting back-to-back games together, back-to-back fourth quarters together.
Well, because we haven't seen it, I don't expect it. I certainly think it's possible. Every game's been so close.
One possession.
This has been a great series. Like, I think people around the country who've spent time watching this series have been entertained. They've been thrilled. Close games, nail biters, tough, physical, not perfectly officiated, we're well aware, but a really good series back and forth. I can't tell you that they're definitely winning tonight. But John, look what they've done in this series. You talk about growing up. Mm-hmm. It's a growth spurt.
Yeah.
Like, this is a growth spurt. You talk about like kids and young and like, I just saw this kid last year and he was...
Yeah, little Jack. Now all of a sudden it's, we're like, holy cow, what happened?
248-539-9797. I do think if they win tonight, they will win the series. But I can't say with certainty they're going to win tonight. They haven't won yet at home. They haven't strung together back-to-back performances. I do want to see how the Knicks counterpunch in the closing minutes with Asar on the floor, because you do not have to respect him as a shooter. They have to have a better game plan. Tibbs is a better coach than that. They got to have a better game plan that punishes the Pistons for having two non-shooters on the floor. I'm still doing it if I'm JB because the defense outweighs the offense, the pros outweigh the cons. But having not seen them win two in a row, I expect to win tonight. I expect to be thrilled tonight. I expect to have a great environment tonight. I expect them to be in it tonight.
Well, expecting to win and guaranteeing a win is two completely different things.
Kind of a fine line there.
No. It's completely different. But that's the mindset that you have to have. I guarantee it's the mindset that these guys have going in. We expect to win. And when we expect when you get to the fourth quarter that Cade is going to manage the game the way that he did in game five. That he is going to find a way to be a guy that whether you need 13 points in the fourth quarter or you need six assists in the fourth quarter or it's a big rebound, it's a big moment, it's something that we expect Cade to do. And as this team continues to grow up, we thought that the first sign of growing up would be to be able to win at home. They haven't done that, but that's the next step for this team. They figured out how to win on the road. They figured out how to get a couple of playoff wins. So, okay, check that box. Now it's can you even a series 3-3? Can you put all of the pressure, which I do believe most of the pressure is on the Knicks tonight, which is why it's hard to close out a series.
Well, I think if you win tonight, you win the series because then you go back home.
Oh, you expect to win the series?
If they win tonight.
So are you guaranteeing they win the series then if they
what
win
are
tonight?
Because
that's the same semantics that you were just trying to pull on me.
John, if they get it to New York, that place is going to be a pit of anxiety. The Pistons have already won there twice in this series. The Knicks have already blown one chance to close things out at home, and they've blown five straight going back years chances to close out series at home. The Pistons have to do something they haven't done yet, though. They have to win a home game. They have to win back-to-back games. They have to string together performances where we don't put the officials in a position to decide the game at the very end. Can't have those fourth quarter turnovers. Can't have lousy shooting nights. Can't have Cade miss a big shot. They have to do those things repeatedly to win a seven-game series. And if they do it tonight, yeah, all the pressure's on the Knicks.
And they win tonight, them to win.
And I expect them to win the series. Give you what you want. 248-539-9797. The basketball talking point here. Can someone remind JB you don't need to challenge every foul or 50-50 ball in the first half?
Yes, I agree with that. But a lot of that argument is, well, if they had a challenge left, they could have challenged at the end of the game. That's not the case because there was no foul called. You can't challenge a no call.
Right. You only get the one, though. So
right.
If it's a play where
keep it in your pocket,
inbounds, out of bounds in a 10-8 game like he did in game four,
yeah,
just don't.
I understand. And this goes to what he told us, the value of every possession. He valued that possession so much that he wanted the ball.
But I would use it on a play that results in points or not points at a critical juncture at the end of a run or the start of a run. Or, hey, if it's a guy's fifth foul late in the game.
Agreed, but I think
it's
just it's a little look into his mindset of what he has preached his players, and we saw it come through in his coaching as well.
And he has their back. I think that's part of it, too, is he wants to set that tone early, but you only have the one. You can't blow it that early. With it. Ticketexture says they dropped $4,000 on courtside seats tonight. They're pumped. Let's go Pistons.
Wow.
That's a buy-in right there.
Literally. $4,000 on courtside seats.
So,
I wonder if they're going to be sitting next to Spike.
Who are they going to be sitting next to? Because if you look at some of these games, I mean, what Campbell and Goff and J-Mo were at the last one. AJ and Scoobal at
AJ
the first
not
one.
Not available tonight, but.
Yeah, they're other plans. Who's going to be there tonight? This guy and a bunch of you guys.
Yeah, with your earplugs. Because it's going to be loud, right? I mean, when did you have your earplugs the last time?
John, I don't bring earplugs to Pistons games.
Well, it's going to be loud.
Events. This guy.
You asked if I was going to have earplugs last night.
And you didn't.
At the AC/DC. No, I'm not. Because
you're a crazy person.
No,
you're going to go to a rock
show
and
geriatric.
Blow out your ear. No, John.
I'm going to go ahead and enjoy the moment, not wear the earplugs, especially on a tether around my neck.
You can call me the P word or whatever else you want, but actually don't because I don't want to have to dump it. I want to be able to hear into my 60s and 70s. I go to concerts and have gone to concerts, and I'll wear the little earbuds. You can still hear the songs just fine. You should do it. Ask people who have had hearing loss.
Trust me.
Actually, you won't have to ask. You'll be one of them.
My hearing loss, if it happens, is not going to be because of an AC/DC concert. It's just not.
248-539-9797.
Are you a sissy if you wear earplugs?
Or are you a really smart person?
Why buy the tickets?
Because you can go to the show and you still get the vibe. You still get the energy.
Nah, you're old. You're old in a 30-year-old's body. You've aged way beyond your years.
Look, we could turn this into an earplugs debate as well. Jeff in Windsor, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I expect the Pistons to win tonight. I got my snacks and my drinks already lined up of what I'm going to have tonight. I have a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos and some Ryan Cokes. And enjoy the game, man. I think tonight someone's going to have to, like, last game it was Thompson that stepped up. There's going to be somebody that needs to step up tonight to get over the 20-point mark, aside from Cade. And just one point I want to make, too. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I've never seen somebody defend someone so effortlessly the way Thompson defends Brunson. Like, his back is vertical. It is just – it's incredible to watch him play defense.
It is a lot of fun, especially in a league where you don't see a lot of defense. And you see somebody do it as effortlessly as he does it and as smooth as he does. I agree with you. It's fun to watch.
There's a possibility the Pistons unlocked something in this last game. There's a possibility that what they did with Cade, 13 fourth quarter points, Thompson erasing Jalen Brunson, and who knows, you know, is Brunson still dealing with something? People questioned, is he injured? Is he running out of gas? Whatever it is. They may have unlocked something at the end of game five.
I think it's more likely that he's running out of gas versus, because we've seen him limping around every game, and I don't doubt that he's hurt, but it could just be the wear and tear of the season, the wear and tear of this series that it's playing on him, and whether it's Karl Anthony Towns and maybe having not the same legs in the fourth quarter as he would have in the fourth quarter in game one or in game three. Now all of a sudden, hey, it's game six, and you've got to get a big bucket. You've worn him down. That's why I think having Asar Thompson in the fourth quarter on Jalen Brunson, making him work just to get the ball,
yes,
making him work to get to where he wants that shot. Now all of a sudden, he's just a little bit more tired, and as the clock ticks away, he's not going to get more energy. He's not going to get revitalized. You got to wear him out.
Brunson only had three points in that fourth quarter. That's part of the recipe. Mm-hmm. Now, he is also one of the great fourth quarter scorers in this playoff. And they have Karl Anthony Towns, who the Pistons have had a hard time corralling. And they've tried Duren. They've tried Harris. They can't try Stewart unless he gets the healthy green light. Those two are still a 1-2 punch at the end of the game. Those two were big in games 3 and 4 in Detroit. No, I can't say I expect to win tonight. If they shut them down again, I expect to win the series. Win tonight, win the series.
If they score more, the Pistons score more than the Knicks, I expect them to win.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're winning Game 7 in New York. You just got to get there. You're not willing to say that.
No, I'm not. Game 7s are a completely different animal.
Ticket, text, phone calls, it's 97.1.
Hey, we're getting some rain right now. Yesterday was a beautiful day. We had some sunshine. I know that you've noticed, maybe you've even mowed already, but the lawn is starting to green up. It's starting to grow. Natural Lawn and Tree Service, you got to get that fertilizer down now. You got to get that weed kill down now. 888-GET-GREEN on the phone, naturallawn.com on the web. Right now, if you purchase a full lawn program, you're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. We mentioned those weeds, crabgrass. No one wants to see it. It's still not too late to go ahead and treat for the crabgrass. The dandelions, they're going to rob your lawn of water and nutrients, so you got to take care of it now before they go to seed and they spread all over your lawn. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service, they're not going to give you a runaround. They're going to take care of the problems as they see them and not continue to bother you with it. They just fix it. Locally owned and operated for over 35 years, so you got to give them a call, 888-GET-GREEN, or on the web at naturallawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service, get green, stay green with Natural Way.
Oh, we're going to have a Javier conversation at 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. Grand slam yesterday. Tigers will play tonight against the Angels. That's the dessert. The main course is Pistons playoff action at Little Caesars Arena. And I'm trying to not be the reckless guy who walks around and guarantees stuff. I'm not guaranteeing a victory tonight for Game 6.
It's not gone well for the show.
The bold, big guarantees?
Yeah.
So I'm not guaranteeing a win tonight. You expect to win tonight. We've asked people their mindset coming into the game tonight. I do think if they win tonight, they will win the series. They've already won a couple at MSG. That place will work against the Knicks. The Pistons will have real momentum. They'll have won back-to-back for the first time in the series. I got to see it, though. I got to see that they can close out Cat and Brunson again. See Asar Thompson on the floor again. See Cade do it back-to-back. And I think they're perfectly capable. They've been in every game in this series. But I'm not going as far as a guaranteed. Ticket Texter wanted to know if we would throw one out. I will tell you this. I was texted by a host on this station in the last segment who is guaranteeing a victory tonight.
Oh.
I will not reveal that name. I'll let them do it on their show later.
Oh.
But I am
not. How much later? Are we talking
in the next
2 hours?
10 hours it'll happen. Texter says, I feel like tonight is the much tougher game. If they get through tonight, they win game 7. The Knicks will be broken. Tom and Flat Rock. Tom, you and I are on the same page. Texter says they win by 10 tonight. Detroit versus everybody. And then a lot of people have thoughts on the concert.
Oh, okay.
You had a good time at AC/DC.
Oh, it was awesome.
I asked you if your ears were ringing. And
unbelievable
and you
concert.
You said no.
No.
And I shared, confided in you that, yeah, I'll wear your plugs at a concert. And that has led to a bunch of ticket texts. People have said Costa is a known dork. This doesn't surprise me at all.
I know. I feel like I'm using that term like I used to use the term outstanding. I'm going to have to scale back on the dork.
Earplugs at a concert. Costa needs his man card revoked. Typical cat guy behavior. SMH. Shaking my head. Casey and South Lyon. Yeah.
Thank you for explaining the SMH.
I'm used to Costa having terrible takes and being whiny, so I'm not surprised he wears earplugs at concerts. Probably wears earmuffs when it's too cold outside. Brandon in St. Clair Shores.
The poofy kind.
The big. I went to Blink-182 last year, didn't wear earplugs, and my ears were messed up for days. I'm actually with Jim. I'm pro earplug now. John, I spent 11 years as a machine gunner in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Never wore hearing protection. Now I'm paying for it. Hearing loss and tinnitus. I would suggest, highly suggest, hearing protection at rock concerts. Love the show. Go Blue. So now, John, you have a choice. You can call out this very tough Marine who went to Michigan as being soft.
Well, completely different.
Or you can agree
with me. Exposure there. 11 years. Okay, if you're going to 11 years worth of AC/DC concerts, maybe you're 11, you would. That's why I say, like, I have had exposure, not 11 years worth of machine gunnery. But when I go to the range, yeah, I'm wearing hearing protection.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Costa double digit disco tonight? No.
I don't. We had somebody just say 10 points. That's double digits.
It is.
And while I do think that they win tonight, I am confident that they will get that done. I don't know how anybody could say that they're going to win by double digits. Just look at the prior 5 games.
Costalock, you coward, Matt and GR. Cookies, you're not an old man in a young person's body. You're a typical millennial. Softer than baby poop, Joe in a car.
I like that one.
Costa, I can't get over earbuds at a concert. Didn't realize Taylor Swift got that loud. Nick and Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't understand why you would even go at that point.
You can still hear. I don't know if you know this, John. You can still hear with them in. They just take it from unbearably damaging sounds.
It's not unbearable. It's just, I don't understand why you would.
We got a lot of fake tough guys on the really, ticket text. Like, I'm so tough, I'll get hearing loss. Okay, dude, you do you.
I have no hearing loss today.
Yes.
I enjoyed every bit of that.
Okay. I'm just saying, veteran concert goers tend to agree with me.
Soft. That's a soft.
A bunch of fake tough guys disagree with
soft.
Me. Let's get to Heather with the news. Look, there's more meat on that Pistons bone. We'll keep talking about them today. Game 6 tonight. We'll get to Javi Baez. Is he endearing now? Is he changing the way you view him? We'll get to that. We also have a Lions conversation that I think people want to participate in, and it's a question that we pose to you guys about how the Lions are set up for next season. Locally, the belief is a healthy Lions team is a Super Bowl team, but their win total is 10.5, which is notably lower than the Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, and Ravens. All 4 of these teams have better Super Bowl odds than the Lions, too. So this isn't just a regular season thing. They believe those four teams are on a different level than the Lions.
And if they hit the under, they're basically saying they're five games worse this year than they were last year.
Which feels crazy, but that's where it's set. So we ask you guys, something or nothing, why is this so?
I agree. I think this is too low. I think they're on the same level as those teams. And there's only two of those teams that have won Super Bowls. There's nothing about Baltimore that makes me believe that they, I mean, okay, maybe they win 12 games, but are they going to do any damage in the playoffs? Likely no. Buffalo, while I don't necessarily, I think Josh Allen is greater than Lamar Jackson with how they operate that offense and what he means to that offense. They haven't won a Super Bowl. Kansas City and Philly are the only ones where you could say, you know what, just by default, okay, yeah, I'll give them the 12 games,
sure.
and I'll put them on a different tier because of what they've done as a team. And Kansas City, even above that, because of who they have as their quarterback. He's the cheat code.
I mean, is some of this a lazy shot at Goff? Like, he's not Allen, he's not Lamar, he's not Hurts, he's not Mahomes, so the Lions have to be a step back?
I don't think it's just one factor. I don't think it's just Goff. And the last impression that we had of Goff, even though he was an MVP finalist, he was the quarterback that operated this offense at an elite level. The last impression that we have of Goff was the turnovers that cost him a loss to the Washington Commanders. Part of that is the conversation. The other part is defensively, are they good enough defensively to hang with these other teams?
And I think most people believe, and you've even used this point, they'll be healthier. Aiden will play a full season. They'll have McNeil for the playoffs. Not right away, but for the playoffs. This team should be better. A full season of Terrion Arnold after he got baptized in fire last season, thrown into the blaze. Does he come out much better for it in year number two?
It's not just him.
But those are questions.
All the young players that are, even Brian Branch. I expect him to be better in year three than he was in year two. He's still in that phase of getting better and understanding more of the offseason, how to prepare, how to study, what he's studying, what he's doing in games, getting more comfortable on the field. And I'm just using an example. Jack Campbell, I expect him to be better in year three than he was in year two, is certainly year one. But going back to all the reasons why I think this number is where it is, it's the perception of Jared Goff. It is the schedule. And I know these other teams are playing first place schedules as well, but it's the AFC North and it's also the NFC North. It's a tough division. The Bears are, I think they're going to be better than a 5-win team. It's going to be tough to play against the Bears.
No
Green
gimmies.
Bay, Minnesota. There's no gimmies. It's also the change in leadership, not from Dan Campbell, obviously, but who is calling the plays on both sides of the ball. Calvin Shepard is there, and I think there'll be some carryover. But John Morton, it's been a while since he's been in Detroit, and a lot of things change in just 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things change. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs wasn't even a part of the conversation when he was here last time. Yeah, Goff may be more comfortable with him, but it is a change in play caller. So I think that plays probably the biggest role into thinking that maybe it's not at the what this team will be at the end of the year, but it'll be a slow start because they're still adjusting to calling plays and listening to those plays. He's trying to figure out what's best for Goff, what's best for Gibbs, what's best for Amon-Ra St. Brown, how do I fit in J-Mo, all of these different components.
But I'd make the case, and it's probably a combination of points. I'd make the case they're not just saying, oh, the win total's less because the Lions might start slower. They're saying the Lions aren't winning the Super Bowl at the same level that an Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens would challenge for the Super Bowl. They're saying even late in the season, they feel like the Lions aren't on their level. And you do with that what you will. I think that's a little much.
I think it's a little much, but I will also say, okay, I don't know that they're on the level. I wouldn't put them with the same odds as the Chiefs. I don't know that I would put them with the same odds as Philly because Philly's done it a couple of times, and then most recently, obviously, last year, even though they've lost some personnel on defense. We saw the head-to-head, and it's not just always about the head-to-head, but Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen. I don't necessarily know that I would put them, you know, just below, but I would certainly put them on the same level as or even above Baltimore.
the Lions are a Super Bowl contender. I feel that. I don't think they're the Super Bowl favorite. You can look at the offseason and say, you know, was there a move you wanted them to make? Is there fine. I don't think they're going to lose five more football games than they did last season. I think a step back, look, they won 15 games. Maybe they only win 12. 12 would still put them in the same category as the other teams in the regular season.
14 would be a step back.
Right. Then you get to the postseason and you see what you're made of.
That's where it's got to all come together. And that's where, okay, do I want them to get the one seed? Yes. Do I want them to win the division? Yes. The entire goal is get to the playoffs and then win in the playoffs. We saw that 2 years ago, and now we get a chance to come off of a very disappointing. You had the one seed, and it didn't help you at all.
Why aren't they viewed as on the same tier? Are they taking a step back this season, or is there an explanation? Let's get to Kevin and Macomb. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, no, I think they are taking a step back, and I just think it's just very evident from the stance of Brad Holmes and how, you know, we have Aiden Hutchinson. We're lucky to have him. He is a superstar, but he did have a catastrophic injury, and at the end of the day, he is a human being. I'm not saying he's going to be lesser than what he was, but I'm just saying we got to be careful with him. And it worries me because opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, our depth chart is Marcus Davenport, who it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when he's going to be out, and he could be out for a while. And then you have Josh Pascal. Those are our two ends, and then we got some guy in the sixth round. You look at the blueprint of, I just feel like it's not that difficult. You look at it, it all starts up front. Mm-hmm. The Lions' offense got much better because of what? Our offensive line got great. And the defensive line obviously has been better, and Hutchinson's outstanding. Aleem McNeil's outstanding. But what do we have outside of that? We don't have any depth.
Yeah, Kevin, I think it's an easy comparison. When Penei Sewell was added to the offensive line, they went to another level. When Aiden Hutchinson's added to the defense, you go to another level. But the difference is the line has Sewell and Decker. There's no Decker on defense, right? You have Ragnow, you have McNeil, but you don't have the Decker on defense.
And that's why I don't understand why I get Aiden Hutchinson is elite, but at the same time, he needs help on that other side. If you're not going to add more guys to that line, I just feel you're not investing in Hutchinson and you're not doing him any favors because he's just going to be taking on double teams, triple teams. And what happens if, God forbid, he gets injured again? What's going to happen? You look at that Commanders game. Obviously, Goff had a horrible game, but when the offense is tanking, we have I love Branch and Joseph, but we have no other playmakers on that defense to get turnovers or create a pass rush at all.
So you already said this. You think Aiden Hutchinson will be at least as good as he was last year, right?
I'm hoping. I'm just saying he had a catastrophic injury. Like, it wasn't a little injury. It was a big injury. And I just think the way he plays, Hutchinson gives 110% every single play. And I just think, you know, he's not a machine, but he pushes it. I hope he's going to be fine.
Well,
I'm just saying.
The catastrophic injury, it looked very dramatic, and I don't want to underestimate what it was. It's very painful, but it's a broken bone. It didn't involve the knee, and it didn't involve the ankle. It's a broken bone.
Yes, I agree, but I'm just saying I would rather there be some depth behind him just to help him out so he doesn't have to be out there every single play pushing it. I just feel you can never have too many pass rushers and D linemen.
So,
and it helps them out.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, you know I'm 100% with you on that. Hutch plays 90%+ of snaps. He's
a
workhorse.
And he should.
And I want him on the field. I also want to have help for him. I want to get another guy one-on-one matchups. I want to have another guy hitting a quarterback. I want to collapse the pocket. That's how you beat the great quarterbacks. Like, the four teams ahead of the Lions in the odds all have mobile, dangerous, winning quarterbacks.
But he was successful, correct me if I'm wrong, with Marcus Davenport and Josh Pascal and Levi Onwuzurike on the other side, right? He was successful.
Aiden was. The other guys.
No. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, his argument was, like, you've got to get him some help. Sure. But Aiden Hutchinson was successful.
Yes. So I've wrote down we got some ticket texts. We'll get to some phone calls to get to, but it seems like there's four main components of this. The schedule's harder. They lost both coordinators. They may be missing a piece on defense, and the quarterback's just not on the level of the other teams. Some combination of the four. If one of them stands out most to you, let us know. 248-539-9797. Why are the Lions at least perceived to be a tier below the heavyweights? It's 97-1.
America's favorite place to watch every single sporting event. We got a big one this weekend. We've got playoff basketball. There's so much going on right now, and it really is throughout the entire calendar. You got to do it at Stadium Swim at some point. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for us, the sports fan. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Four biggest explanations out of you guys so far. We'll keep collecting them. We want to know what the front runner is. The biggest reason the Lions are expected to take a step back, and you don't have to believe they will, but there is this perception. The betting markets don't have them at the same win totals as the Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, or Bills. Those four have better Super Bowl odds, higher win totals. The book is saying step back. Why? People have said the schedule's tougher. They've lost both coordinators. The quarterback is not as good as the other four. And people have pointed out missing pieces on defense.
Okay, these are all good reasons. I think they're valid. And yeah, to think they're going to go 15-2 again is ludicrous. I mean, they played the AFC South last year. The whole division did. That's why the division's record was a little bit out of whack.
Yeah. Yep.
But the thing is this is 10.5, okay? You think they're five losses worse than last year's?
I
don't know where people would think that. And I'm puzzled by this because last year the Lions fans really bet up the Lions market to the point where they changed the odds in Vegas. And that's not happening this year. So I'll put it back at Lions fans, at least who bet on the team last year. Doesn't seem like you're betting on them this year because the number's not changing. So what's going on here? Because I just think going into the season as is, I would find it hard that they don't finish at least 11-6.
Yeah, I mean, look, two weeks from today, the schedule will come out. We'll play the game. But I'm sitting right there feeling like, yeah, it's a 12-win football team, which is plenty good enough to win this division. They'll be in the list of teams that can win the Super Bowl. The criticism for me would be you didn't do enough this offseason to vault yourself into Super Bowl favorite status. But I still believe they're in the mix.
And even if they're as good as they were last year, I find it hard to believe they're as good. Maybe the health, and then the, you know, is the opposite side of switching play callers on both sides of the ball. So maybe it's a wash. I don't know that they're a 15-win team. I don't think they're a 15-win team. And maybe the difference is simply instead of playing the AFC South, they are playing the AFC North. But do they get swept by the AFC North?
No.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think that. I would think they would split.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which games the most likely is. They probably lose at Baltimore.
Ticket Texture says, how about they're not looked at as one of the heavy hitters because they keep shooting themselves in the foot? Sure, we're not going to use the last 60 years, but last year they were the one seed and couldn't win one playoff game. History's not on their side. Maybe people are starting to realize that. That's Bill, Gators lion-hating buddy on the Ticket Text. Don in Howell, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. The chances of the Lions winning 15 games this upcoming year, I would say, are slim based on the schedule. I get that. But do you honestly think that if the Lions make the playoffs, that they're not going to be a favorite to win a playoff game to do better than this year? I mean, the year that just passed? I mean, this team, just because Aleem McNeil is out, if everybody's healthy, let's just say everybody's relatively healthy at the end of the season, and we win 10 to 11 games like they're predicting, and let's say we don't win the division. I'm sorry, but I'm not betting against the Lions if I go into the playoffs from what I've seen over the last 2 years, even though we lost our offensive coordinator. I'm not betting against this team. This team has shown that they are incredibly resilient when they're healthy.
And by the time you get to the playoffs,
betting against them.
Yeah, by the time you get to the playoffs, play caller should have it all figured out.
Yeah,
you're no longer the new play caller at that time.
Yeah, and you still have the talent. It's not like you're, I mean, I don't think the offensive coordinator is going to come in and completely change everything that worked for the last two years, right?
No, of course
not. I mean, he's going to take all the things that did work, and he's going to put his small little mixes and nuances on it.
Yeah.
But this team is still the team.
So I think part of this might be, though, if they're not going to win 15, and I think we're all pretty comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
Is there a world where they don't have home field, where they have to play extra playoff games, where that's factored in here now? Because if you have to play at Philly and they're seen as good or better than you, that's part of the odds here.
It's much harder. There's no question.
Yeah, no one's saying you can't, but that's part of the odds here, that you're behind them.
Anytime you go on the road in the playoffs, it's much harder than winning at home. And we saw that's why it was so impressive what Jaden Daniels, the Washington Commanders, what they did last year coming into Ford Field in that environment with a team that was a 15-win team, albeit beat up on defense. It's not an excuse to lose to the Commanders.
Reese, you have kind of a bold statement here. You're on 97.1.
What's up? I don't think they take a big step back. If they do, it's because of the coordinators, because maybe the coordinators don't have the trick plays that Aaron Glenn did, on the same caliber of level. But I see them winning, 12. The only, possibly more, the only games I really see them losing, Eagles, Bills, and maybe the Chiefs. I'm driving into work, so I won't be able to touch on next hour's topic. But shout out to Javier Bayes. And I'm rooting for the Pistons tonight. And lastly, I'm glad that the Wolves knocked the Lakers out of the playoffs. I don't know if you watched that game last night where LeBron barely touched DiVincenzo and went down, the biggest flopper ever. I'm glad the Lakers got eliminated.
I think most people here in Metro Detroit are happy to see the Lakers go bye-bye.
Yeah, but shout out to Javier Bayes. That was a great game. Pistons are going to win tonight and then win back in Madison Square Garden. Unfortunately, they're going to play the Celtics and lose that, but at least they'll win this series.
It's already been noted that they've set game one for the next round for Monday.
Quick turnaround.
So if you get to game seven, whoever wins, one day off, and here's the Boston Buzzsaw, baby. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. Got to get there first.
Hopefully we have that conversation on Monday morning.
I can't wait to have that. Yeah. Oh, we got robbed. The schedule. I'd love to be in that position. It means getting out of this first round. 248-539-9797. A few more ticket texters. There's a lot of doom and gloom for a team that's 29-9 the last two seasons. Recency bias has people assessing the state of the Lions based on last year's roster with a defense full of backups. You can't have all pros everywhere. Young players will improve. Other teams will have injuries. Yes, yes, yes. I don't think we're being doom and gloom. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. Everything is in the context of trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but just think of where we are. If we're sitting here saying 11 or 12 wins or whatever our prediction is, it's not going to be 15. That's viewed as doom and gloom. Like that's a pretty good spot to be in. And, to win a championship, you're going to need a few things to fall your way. Obviously, last year, nothing seemed to fall the Lions' way because of the continuation of injuries on one side of the ball. You're not going to get to the end of the season and not have injuries. It's going to happen. You're just hoping that you have enough depth at whatever position that is to be able to hold serve.
Doom and gloom. See, I think Tom was all over this. We're not doom and gloom. The market's telling you. Lions fans aren't betting the total the way they did a year ago. If they were, the risk assessment team in Vegas would bump them up to 11.5 with everybody else, right? If everybody's betting them to win the Super Bowl, they'd have to cut those odds. So it's just a reflection. We're holding up a mirror to Lions fans and to the NFL in general. They don't view the Lions on the same level as the Big Four.
And the fact is that under 10.5 is getting every bit as action as over.
Otherwise, they'd move it.
That means that roughly half the people out there think this is a 10-7 football team, and that kind of blows me away a little bit that you would see that far of a drop off.
I'm not telling people to go bet money, but if you were betting them last year and you're not betting them this year, you're telling on yourself.
Yeah,
we're not putting that into your mind, you've made that decision already. Because last year, it was from the jump. As soon as the season ended, they were in the NFC title game. They're winning the Super Bowl next year. I already put my future bet in. How many calls did we get late in the season? I got them at whatever to one back in May, back in April, back in February. We are not getting that this season. You guys have been giving us reasons. 248-539-9797. We'll talk Javier Bayes, whether his number gets up on that brick wall in the outfield when all is said and done. I kid. We're just looking to see him produce. It's 97-1. Wow.